Hello and welcome to Bend the Knee, a Song of Ice and Fire podcast. I am Sir Matt, the Butt Knight.
And I am Sir Ezra, the Watchful. And friends, we're back with just sort of random rabbit holes, random dives down, really House of the Dragon kind of centered theories and thoughts as we get kind of hyped and ready to go into season one.
Yeah, we're so much closer they're so much closer to season one, and just diving this, we've got, I don't really know where the direction of today's show is going to go. Just kind of like last week, how we were like, man, we're in this sort of lull where it's like we've gotten some new images and stuff like that, but nothing really big and concrete. But there's no reason to dive back into the reread until we've gotten season one, because what are we going to do? Like two episodes on a book and then
not touch it
for months. So here we are. So we briefly kind of mentioned this. I think we'll start the show with this. Yeah. We briefly kind of talked about this last week, that there are some potential leaks, so potential warning, right? I mean, we kind of know what happens in the story, but just sort of a cool idea, I guess. Some people have said that they saw this in episode one. Other people have said, I've seen things saying, no, it's towards the end of the season, whatever. The idea that somehow Aegon the Conqueror finds out about the White Walkers,
mm-hmm.
and it's a sort of secret that is passed down the lineage, gets lost during the Dance of Dragons, and then must somehow get rediscovered by Rhaegar, or I guess Egg,
maybe. Yeah,
right, Egg, yep. And then it begins to become an idea again. So, where do we begin with this? So the idea that did Aegon the Conqueror, let's just start there, know about the White Walkers?
Yeah, see, this is one of the things that George talks about, like changes that they wanted to make in the show that might actually be better, and that he is sort of Gurm approving, right? It's Gurm approved, mm-hmm. which I think is awesome. Now, this is, again, leak, rumor. We don't even know if this is true or not, but it's the idea that Aegon would know, or Dany's the Dreamer, or anybody sort of, you know, that was, again, foreseeing the doom of Valyria. And then you kind of like, all right, why unite? Why did the Targaryens sit there for a while and on their outpost? And then they said, you know what? It's time to take our dragons. We need to do something. We need to conquer, right? They make the painted table. They start to lay down these plans. Aegon does with his sisters, the three heads of the dragon here, a real symbolic kind of start. It's something that Dany is wrestling with in the series, right? Dany is, we're all kind of, when we theorize about Winds of Winter, who are the three heads of the dragon, and why does that matter? And why do we need that in terms of, you know, pushing back against the White Walkers, or this ice and fire situation? So the last time we really see this, or when we first kind of hear about it, is Aegon the Conqueror, the three heads of the dragon. There's a need for them to kind of be united, and for symbolic, who knows, maybe there's some magical thing. It feels like something's been lost over the years. As Matt said, like in the Dance with Dragons, like it's lost, something happens. And then maybe Aemon and Egg and some of the Targaryens down the line, they discover, like, what was it all about 300 years ago? You know, 300 years ago, what were our ancestors trying to do in uniting Westeros against a common foe or some enemy, right? That's sort of the idea.
Yeah. And so I was just listening to the clip again where George is talking about it. And George describes it. He's like, well, there's some speculation that that Aegon knew, and that's why he decided to unite the Seven Kingdoms and, you know, all of these things. And it's like, of course, George, when George says there's speculation amongst like maesters and all these things, it's like, bro, like, come on.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it does sort of change a lot of the narrative, because we've often talked about, like, what exactly is it that Rhaegar reads when Rhaegar reads something and then decides, like, I need to put down the, it's time for me to put down the books, and pick up the sword.
Right.
So he picks something up. We know he spends time at Summerhall. So I think it's easier to work back than try to work down.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Rhaegar clearly reads something that causes him to essentially launch a civil war. We do know if Rhaegar hadn't have done that when he was young, do you think he would have tried to depose the Mad King?
If he hadn't have done that earlier? Yeah.
Let's just say that he does decide three of the dragon, all that stuff.
Right.
So that is real. Would he still have tried to say it's time for my dad to move aside?
See, I think because he does do all of that, like that's what you're saying, is that like we're saying that he does have those visions, he does do that reading. That is what maybe causes him to say we need to go in a new direction. Otherwise, I don't think so. I think the time, you know, this new direction, unless it's just like that his father is a threat and is tarnishing the Targaryen name, which you could go down that line of thought. But really, maybe he felt like something more prophesied. Clearly, he felt like there needed to be this union and this blood match and the three heads of the dragon. So that is on his mind. And it's a direction that he wants to take the realm. And to tie it, you know, we'll work back here slowly. But still, that seemingly is what's being speculated that Aegon the Conqueror wanted to do, that there was a need to go unite right. The realm against this threat. So yeah, it feels like a different direction, you know?
Well, I guess what I'm saying is, so like, because part of the, when it's what we know, what it's said in sort of World of Ice and Fire and all this other stuff is at some point, and the regular books, you know, to piece together Rhaegar's story, is that at some point Rhaegar decided, hey, I need to put down the books and pick up the sword. So he began training out of nowhere. So he clearly reads something.
Yes. Now
we've also speculated the idea of maybe it was Bran, you know, future Bran.
Oh, yeah.
His way back. And
tenfold,
also
baby, yeah.
Blood Raven, all sorts of stuff, right?
Right, right.
So we know that there is, that is out there, that the potential for that exists. But clearly Rhaegar was reading something. It doesn't say what he was reading, but mm-hmm. he decides this is the direction I need to go.
Yes.
Once he goes in that direction, he, you know, I mean, obviously he then goes on to marry
Elia Martell,
yep. And all of this thing. So he had been training for years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Going in that direction.
Right.
He tries with Elia Martell. It doesn't work. So then he tries Lyanna Stark.
Yeah.
Now the idea of like the three heads of the dragon going back to Aegon the Conqueror
mm-hmm.
kind of makes sense because Aegon the Conqueror is one head of three dragons.
Yeah.
And in his mind, I imagine he would think, I need this pact would be the thing. If they were to ever come, that's what we would need to defeat them. We would need to be united because Aegon is not really united with his sisters.
True. Right? Yeah, he's
not truly united like with his sisters. So I could see in his mind, if we were united, we could defeat anything.
Yeah.
Because they did. They came over and conquered Westeros in like a week.
No problem.
I mean, it was like, no problem. I mean, it wasn't a week, but
right.
Sort of seems like it. This is pretty easy. Just fly here, burn, just burn. Yeah. There we go.
Bend the knee, baby. Yeah.
Yeah. So Rhaegar, you go all the way back down. Rhaegar is probably thinking, I need three heads of the dragon. He's probably reading it as a little more prophetic, I guess, than what maybe Aegon the Conqueror, who's the one who's really probably telling, he would have told Aenys and then somehow
passed on to Jaehaerys and so on. Yeah.
It gets passed on to Jaehaerys and gets passed on the line, gets lost during the Dance of the Dragons. Because mm-hmm. think there's leaks and stuff saying, so again, potential spoilers, that Jaehaerys is going to tell Rhaenyra about it. And that's like, that's you're the next in line. You're the true heir. Like, you are now gifted with this knowledge.
Oh.
Right. So,
hold on a second.
Yeah. So that's kind of what the deal is that. That is like, that's like the true passing to the heir there is this like secret thing that could be the fall of like everything. And it will be your job at some point to potentially shut that down.
Yes. Wow.
It could also explain why when Egg must figure it out, that Egg begins to want to get dragons back.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Hey, we need to get dragons back. Arian Brightflame tries to turn himself into a dragon by drinking wildfire. I mean, it could just be that he's, you know,
crazy.
Yeah. Or it could be he knows about it too.
Yeah.
And then when Summerhall happens, like almost everyone dies.
Right.
So then that secret is potentially lost again. But Rhaegar spends a lot of time going back to Summerhall. And he mm-hmm. spends time, you know, and he talks to the Woods Witch.
Exactly.
And he probably learns a lot of this stuff. So he clearly maybe in some way was trying to understand what went wrong and what happened.
Yeah, and understanding a secret that, or you know, kind of this mantle that was passed down to the leaders and to the leaders of the family, in which, you know, he is one. So, and if Egg was trying to discover that, and then again, he's an infant during the time of Summerhall, and they were close to sort of rediscovering maybe the secret or what their purpose was, or the prince that was promised, right? That's the whole thing. The Woods Witch is, you know, also talking about what was, you know, the prophecies and all these different things. So if that's something he's trying to rediscover, it's a thing that's lost. Even Aemon is wrestling with it when he's on the boat with Sam. He's trying to figure out the riddle. He's trying to understand things, and that, it, you know, prince versus princess and all that stuff. So the family has lost something. It actually even makes more sense in terms of this fight between ice and fire. You know what I mean? Right. It really actually makes, even though we see Jon being a Targaryen, you know, fighting against them. Cool. Makes sense and everything. But like, the family would want to be protected. It's not like the threat is here now, but we know, we have foreseen that it will come. We don't know when. This is the thing. You're not given super clarity on when these things are going to happen, but you just make sure every generation is ready to face that threat by having three heads of the dragon, by having a united front, or right, whatever it is, that's something that they're trying to rediscover. And things, you know, George does this, right? Which is, stuff gets lost over time. Things, the story changes over 300 years, and you know,
and even thousands of years.
Exactly. And maesters decide to tell one part of it, or they documented this, or somebody was killed, and then, or the Dance of Dragons happens, and so bits of information, history, and knowledge is lost along the way. That actually seems very fitting with the way he writes and with what the story he wants to tell, and it seems very real world. You know what I mean?
Right. So, see, to me, and we've talked about this too, is even in the World of Ice and Fire book, as it goes back and it explains, you go back and read about the Dawn Age and potentially this Azor Ahai character, there's also like the last hero, and there's like the Sword of the Morning, and there's the different regions describe a different character who was the one who sort of put down the Long Night.
Right.
And so there you have multiple different versions of potentially one person that was the one who defeated them long ago. Then we get to like the three heads of the dragon and the prince that was promised and all of these other things, which feels like it's separate, but sort of goes along with it.
Right.
So like the three heads of the dragon could just be Aegon the Conqueror's idea that also somehow gets skewed with the idea of the Azor Ahai character, and they get blended together, which we've talked about as well. Mm-hmm. So the idea to me of the three heads of the dragon coming from Aegon the Conqueror potentially makes way more sense than coming from Rhaegar. Because where does Rhaegar get this idea of three heads of the dragon? Well, if he gets it as this Targaryen secret that's passed down the line, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe some people interpret it. Maybe, let's say, Viserys telling it to Rhaenyra, he thinks about it as, well, what if it's me, you know, my wife, who a lot of them took Targaryens, and then my heir, and we are the three dragons.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Which then kind of goes into the idea of the prince that was promised. Like, maybe Rhaegar's interpretation of it as I need three kids isn't even correct. I guess, you know, from Aegon the Conqueror's perspective, it would be three, because it would be him and his two wives.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it could be, in theory,
well,
it could be a Targaryen and their sister, wife, you know, or whatever, because that's right, their Targaryens, and then their child could be the three heads of the dragon. That's like a united family,
right? You can have different sort of scenarios as to whether it's
who the three are,
who that third would be, or who the whatever, because you have the Woods Witch sort of talking about that prince that was promised, or this idea that was going to come from Egg's line or whatever, and so Rhaegar, you know, maybe you think it's you, and then, oh, it's not me, it's further down the line. But clearly there is something, because Dany has this idea. They get visions, or when they go, I think she's in the house of the Undying, or I forget where she's at exactly, but she has the thought is there, the dragon, or that there must be three heads, there must be. So some sort of calling, some sort of premonition, some whatever comes to them, where they, throughout history, they get warnings to preserve themselves, right? So Dany's, the dreamer, right, has a premonition that they need to leave and flee Valyria to save them, right? So then if other members of their house have dreams or visions that would help to preserve them in some threat, some distant threat or whatever. I feel like that makes a lot of sense that they, you know, for Aegon, the interpretation of that was he and his two sisters. But for Rhaegar, he has to interpret that and he has to say, okay, what does that mean for me and my family right now? How do I create that scenario and have this trio, the power of three, which it's sort of a magical number, right? It's the idea that you have three things and that they would be united as one against the great other or White Walkers or whatever. It comes down to your interpretation. And then, as you said, it gets sort of blended with this prince or princess that's promised that they're it's almost like that person is in some way. And you can go look at the wiki and all the different thoughts and different theories on this in terms of like, what is the, if you're kind of lost here or whatever, like what is the prince that is promised or princess or whatever. It seems like that gets merged. And like Matt said, over time, the heroes get sort of blended into one. And were they one or were they many? You know what I mean? Were they different? And we've lost that story over time. So yeah, it's tough. That's the beauty of it.
It would also explain if this whole idea does essentially that like the three heads of the dragons sort of specifically and in the threat to the White Walkers with that sort of correlation.
Yeah,
it would explain why Aegon the Third would be like, it's time to get rid of dragons. Like we don't really need them anymore, because the idea is it gets lost with Rhaenyra.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so then when Aegon the Third comes in, who's the ones who's like starting to get rid of dragons. Well, if you knew that this threat of the White Walkers existed, you would not get rid of dragons. I mean, that's kind of the whole deal is, not only are you Targaryens and you should have them in the first place, but if you don't think that this threat exists, you could be like, well, we don't need them. But if you do know that this threat exists, that you would need something so powerful like a dragon to take care of, there's no way you would get rid of them.
Yeah, well, this almost blends in with another topic we wanted to talk about, which is like, like Viserys passing that on. See, the heir is more, you know, I know there's the Council of 101 AC and there's all this different stuff and who's to become the heir, but hidden or like an undertone or whatever, an extra element here is that the heir or the king or queen, whoever, has this knowledge, has the foresight, has the access to some knowledge that preserves the family and that preserves the realm. And so by him not being assertive, I think you kind of brought this up. And I think some of the guys you said were talking about this in the chat, that,
we have a just for those of you who's listening, yeah. I talk about it every once in a while. I reference our group chat, which is like some of Ez and I and some other some people in our little community, like Sir Jimmy, who runs this on YouTube.
Yep.
He's in there, Sir
Ryan, Sir Matthew, shout out to those guys, because we get a lot of good conversation in there just about this topic. And so especially Sir Matthew's been losing his mind in there, by the way, recently about a lot of I've been rereading and stuff. So it's cool because you can this stuff matters. I think that what they want to do in the show verse, you need something like this. You need something for fans to like a theory, a tie in, a tie through, you know, to that main series that, oh, this was this is lost. This information is lost here. It's the thing that would make people kind of rally around. Like if you catch on to it, it could be enough to like rally around Rhaenyra. She's the true heir. She has the information. She's told something. And maybe he wasn't, you know, maybe the significance of this information loses its value or loses its whatever over time. And as you're passing that down, the importance and the significance gets lost. This is a tale. This is something from Aegon the Conqueror. Okay, cool. We get it. It's a role I need to play. But no, like just like the whole idea that there needs to be a Stark in Winterfell. Maybe there's some magic to that. Maybe over time, that's just a phrase that they say, but maybe really back in the day, there was some good reason why we needed Stark blood, or there's some spell. I mean, there are spells, there's magic, there's power in this world. It's seemingly gone or has been gone dormant for a while and it reemerges. But it feels like maybe Viserys was not as forward as he should have been in letting the realm know that, I mean, he does come out and say that this is my heir, right? He puts her on Dragonstone in the whole nine yards.
Right.
But then he goes and he has more kids with Alicent. And those children, you know what I mean? Those children then feel a claim to the throne. And it's like, what is Rhaenyra then going to, when he dies, is Rhaenyra going to pass the secret on to them? No, she is the ruler. She believes she's the ruler. So it's this whole dance and it's this confusion that causes this thing to be lost, squandered,
right?
You know, and unless you have a dragon, unless that, like in the family, that gift, that Rhaegar and Aegh and others, like later on, will have the dreams start to come back, a warning, a foreboding that something's going to happen. Then they start to, you know, puzzle out what was it that was going on? Why, you know, why does there need to be three heads to the dragon? Who, the prince that's promised? Why is this something that's emerging? Those things are things that they'll wrestle with, that their ancestors maybe had a better understanding of. But again, it comes down to interpretation too, which George is really good with. Like, okay, you're given a vision, or Melisandre interpreting the flames, right? Misinterpreting the flames, I should say. So, you know, there's other, the greater question is also even whether they're interpreting them correctly. Did Aegon interpret those dreams or that vision or whatever correctly? So it's just a cool element that I think if it's added into this series could be sort of one of those subtle things that is more alluding towards magic and the higher fantasy realm. But we're going to get lost in the political backstabbing and all the moving of resources and who's next in line and that sort of stuff. And the real important stuff gets pushed backwards, which is, I don't know. It's cool. And I feel like it's unique and it's different. And this all comes down to George just saying that, right? That there's just there's speculation. George, you make the speculation. George is the one, you know, conjuring up all this stuff. He writes the, you know, what the maesters speculate about. So it's just kind of funny to hear him sort of say that, you know? So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I'm just sort of looking here. Well, one thing real quick, just on Viserys, because this is another topic we wanted to talk about, but I think we can kind of squeeze it in here.
Yeah.
Was, should Viserys in general have been more aggressive in naming Rhaenyra as his heir? I mean, you look at, I mean, Maegor the Cruel, he may take the throne a little quite aggressively, to say the least. But you know, they talk about, you know, a Targaryen, flip a coin, you get a good one, you get a bad one. But I think sometimes you need to be, as a ruler, you have to know when to press and when to be sort of good, I guess. You know, but maybe he's a little too nice in the fact that he is. I think if he really pressed it, he's the ruler and he has dragons and he can say, Rhaenyra is my heir and you're just gonna have to deal with it.
Yeah. So, okay. This is a good topic because several mistakes were made by Viserys. Really, I mean, he's going to come out here and he wins out in the Council of 101 IC. He is, I mean, we had Rhaenyra who will be passed over. He then, it comes down to Emma Arryn is his first wife and he has Rhaenyra. And he will not, and he names her his heir. We actually see a clip in the trailer where all of the different Starks and the other lords pledge their sword. They pledge they swear they're going to defend her right to the throne. She will be essentially the first, I guess, queen, right, of Westeros. And that's something he set up. Like, the council didn't necessarily say, it was really just picking the next. I mean, they did overlook Rhaenyra and they did establish that idea that no, it should be, you know, the Viserys, and they looked at the male heirs and all that kind of stuff or whatever. But it's like, okay, they're, you know, it's so ironic that Viserys is the one who's picked over Rhaenys Targaryen. And then now he's saying, no, we are actually going to have, like, my daughter is going to be heir. Cause he does say that, and people come forward and they swear that. But the biggest mistake I think he made is right here. So in 113 AC, Viserys decides it's time for his daughter Rhaenyra to wed. So Queen Alicent wanted, at the time, in 113 AC, she wanted the princess to marry her eldest son, Prince Aegon, so he could one day be king. Viserys would not. He's out. He's out on this. And he says that Aegon is too young. He's 10 years old. And that I think he's 10 years younger than Rhaenyra is maybe what it is, which, by the way, I mean, there's people. I mean, I know people who, again, it's, you know, as long as he's older and stuff like that, like if he's 20 and she's 30, whatever. But it's a shocker because he said they also didn't get along in their youth or whatever. But right there solves all your problems. I mean, they both can rule. They, you know, I know he's king and she's queen, but whatever. It's like, that's fine. So it's Alicent proposes this and these things could have been reconciled. I don't know. Maybe we're going to see that conversation come up in this, and we're going to see Rhaenyra really go to her father and say, no, I'm not having that. I'm not whatever. Well, sorry. Hold on a second. Viserys is king.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, this is on him in terms of making this work, because he's now set up a situation where this is his firstborn, Rhaenyra, but his firstborn son. If you're going by the precedent that was set in 101 AC, it should go. And Allison's thing is that it should go to your son, your firstborn son. And he is going against the very ruling that put him in the throne. You know what I mean? He's going against that. So either, as Matt said, should he be more assertive and saying no, getting more different time? Or there's a perfect compromise here, as Allison brings up, which is have them marry. Have the two marry. Right. But there's the age difference. There's all this different stuff or whatever. So, and then you've got Corlys Velaryon saying, no, I want, you know, we've got a candidate over here. Laenor, who was also an infant during that time. Laenor's name was put forward with Viserys' name in the Council of 101. You had the three largest contenders were Rhaenys Targaryen. And then you had Laenor Velaryon. And then you had Viserys Targaryen. Those are the three. And so they're all still players around this time, and you could patch this up. I think he's actually trying. I think Viserys is actually almost like, maybe we'll see him sort of realize Rhaenys has a gripe. She was passed over. So then her son, Laenor, okay, let's go with that. And he's now going to marry, you know, Rhaenyra to him. So it just seems like such a missed opportunity, though. I get there's an age difference and there's, you know, whatever, but now you've got siblings battling it out for who's going to be next in line. He already has an issue with his brother, Daemon, who wants to be the heir and is super power hungry and aggressive and wants to, he supports his brother. Absolutely. But he wants to be, you know, next in line. So, I mean,
yeah, it's, I don't know. He ends up trying to be a little too nice, and he should have just pressed. You know, it's easy to look in hindsight, right?
Oh yeah.
But I mean, if he really felt like, hey, this is my heir, he could have just said, this is my heir, and you're gonna have to deal with it. And who's gonna stop him? You know, it's still good, because it ultimately still ties into the Iron Throne and the game and the true Game of Thrones, right? You have to play your cards right. You know, it's why I was just sort of thinking of him, and then thinking of like Tywin Lannister, and it just shows you, man, just how good Tywin is just as a leader.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's really, Tywin really only ever underestimates one person, and it's Tyrion. Yeah. Like, to be, you know, I mean, that's it. Like, everyone underestimates somebody in the entire series. Everyone always, there's nobody who plays the game perfectly ever.
No. Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, man, Tywin's probably the closest to play in the game.
Yeah, he is. He is for sure. Yeah. One more point too on this idea with, as you say, people who play the Game of Thrones and understanding the dynamics. Because what George does best, which you said there with Tywin and Tyrion, is there's a human element. There's this other factor. There's this family. There's this jealousy. There's other elements that there's a human factor in it. There's political alliances. There's whatever. But there's also just this random wild piece where it's just like somebody's going to rebel and they just don't care, and they're willing to burn it all down and they don't care. So Rhaenyra basically said, like, she's like, I'm not marrying Laenor. She flat out says, no, I'm not going to. And he's like, then I will change the succession. I will change it to your brother. And she was like, well, he basically prefers my brother. There's no way. Which bring in, you know, the Strongs, Harwin Strong and all the craziness with her, you know, I guess bastard children. There you go. I said it. But you know what I'm saying, man? It's like he underestimates the passion of his daughter in terms of who she wants to be with. And then he just really fumbles this one.
If this leak sort of is true, and that in the show we will see him say something to her about the potential of this threat up north, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, then he must legitimately at least think to some degree she's going to end up being the leader, which I think we're going to see this season. I think this season, especially with a lot of the images and everything they're releasing, I mean, all these power shots of like young Rhaenyra. First of all, look freaking sick. I mean, this show looks so good. I'm so pumped for this show.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, all of these shots, like just the way she's turning. I mean, it feels like she's like, I'm going to be queen someday.
Queen. She is the next. Yeah, exactly. So there's, I mean, it's also unique in that, like, he has two wives and that he went out and said she is the heir. And so he's not going to, like, the king, you should, like, his request is, it's public knowledge that he wants Rhaenyra to be his successor. So it is sort of a crazy betrayal by Allison, which is what's going to be that, like, the factions are going to be, you know, people are going to be split on this. And you need to almost, again, maybe there's major wrongdoings done to the Hightowers. We're going to feel sorry for something. There's good, because I feel like fans are going to be split 100% on this, whether you support Rhaenyra or Alicent. I would not be surprised if they make Alicent Hightower out to be a very sympathetic figure.
Likeable character.
Likeable, who we're all going to be like, yeah, what's up? Why don't we see that? And then some of us who are like, well, wait, there's a tie through here. Like the Targaryens are losing this element, this secret. There's this. I mean, again, this is also the king's wishes, his last sort of. So,
I do think from a fan perspective, it's gonna end up working out really well because you ultimately know that a Targaryen is gonna win. So, because we know the Targaryens, if you just watch Game of Thrones, you know the Targaryens hold power until
for sure,
and you know until Game of Thrones starts. So it's unlike Game of Thrones where you're watching it and you're thinking who's gonna win at the end. Here, at least. The thing is, like, it still works because you know a Targaryen's going to win. So you know one side or the other is going to win. So for the people that are just your casual watchers who are not going back and reading any of this stuff,
for sure,
they're going to know one. I can pick either side and like you might win. Like you can really root for one side in this. As a casual viewer, you can totally root for one side, which is really cool.
Well, and you know, it feels kind of weird because it's such a great dynamic. You have Alicent, who's the mother, like rooting for her son and trying to push her son for it. Ser Otto Hightower doing his thing as well. And you're also going to see prior to all of this, there is sort of a like Hightower. He understands the political dynamics here and tries to make certain alliances with individuals in the small council. You have Daemon then making alliances with Corlys Velaryon. So you're going to see a lot of, like muddy water to begin, and then you'll see things start to kind of separate. But I think in the beginning, there's going to be definitely a muddy element to this where you're like, okay, who is really on whose side here? And there's going to be a big question mark, which is a good thing. But then Alicent rooting for her son to be the next in line. And because you can have fans say, now hold on a second, Viserys flat out, they're going to, the old king is in this. They're showing us, King Jaehaerys. They're showing us the Council of 101 AC. They're showing us that, like, this is the way it's done. This is the way this super respected king who ruled for many years and the realm was in good governance has basically said, this is how you should do stuff moving forward. And now you see the Hightowers wanting to uphold what King Jaehaerys said, what basically put his, you know, what put his grandson on the throne. So they're justified in wanting Aegon to be next in line. Whereas you have other people who say, now hold on a second, the current king, Viserys, is establishing something new. So it's a really, really, really good spot to kind of create a divide and create fan of, you know, bases for each side. Flat out, because there's a case for both.
Right. And to be fair, they both in a way like kind of win. Like they both lose, but they both also kind of win because
they're all half siblings too, you know.
Right. Like, yeah, they're all half siblings. And like ultimately I think Rhaenyra kind of wins because her and Daemon's son wants to end up sitting the throne. But in the meantime, like Allison's kids do sit the throne.
Yeah, they do. They do. Well, and again, their relation, I mean, again, nothing they could be fighting with, you know, it's tough because again, Aegon the Third is so young that he's really not going to be much. I don't know how much of a factor, what the deal is going to be, how much, what they're going to do or how they're going to do all that. But like, essentially that's still their family. I mean, you have two half siblings fighting it out here, which is crazy. So yeah, ultimately the Targaryens, as you say, win. Viserys, either way, his heirs sit the throne, right? Whether it's through Rhaenyra or it's through Alicent, his heirs will sit the throne. So he's good. You know what I mean? Like the Targaryen line kid. Now, if the first, what's his name? Luke and the rest of them, like they're all Strongs, right? You know what I mean? They're all clearly Strongs, and they're not related to House. They're not Laenor's children, right? So that's sort of the thing that we're gonna discover. This can be a little bit of an issue when Rhaenyra is having children. They're bastards.
Here's a question. I still ultimately want to get back maybe to some more of the. I was looking at some Night's Watch stuff to see like when do we see the Night's Watch dwindling, and tying back to the idea of this thing being sent down the line. So really, it does make sense though that it would stop with Rhaenyra because she wouldn't be able to tell her son because he'd be way too young.
Yeah, for sure. It's lost. I mean,
so how does it? I guess how does Rhaegar find? I guess how does Egg and all these other people find
out? What do they read? Yeah. What is it that he reads that would cause them to start to kind of something written, something in a king's log, or something that is passed down? And then maybe there's again even like prophecies, Woodwitch prophecies, or dragon dreams.
Do you think Bloodraven finds out about it?
Possibly. If you think he's behind, you know, sort of.
Do you think he? Because I definitely think, obviously, he knows about it when he's in the cave. But do you think he knew about it before he goes to the wall, or do you think he knows about it after he goes to the wall? So what did Bloodraven know about the White Walkers, and when do you think he learned it?
You could make a case that he knew it before, because when he goes to the wall, like he seems rather willing to go there. He knows that what, like the act of killing the Blackfyre is going to send him there. Plus then, I mean, I don't know. Does he know that? Whatever. But he goes there, and then he goes missing after a time. He is up there investigating something, and then he goes missing. I think almost willingly goes to investigate these things. So it feels like he would have known about that prior to, like, while he's either up at the wall or prior to going to the wall. So I don't think it's like when he gets in the tree. I think it's like prior to. I feel like it's too,
because when he kills Aenys Blackfyre, maybe he's thinking like, well, I just killed another Blackfyre, so they're probably like done.
Yeah. He probably does. They basically are. So the realm is good, and you've got this line set up, and then he's working in the mystic arts. He's again, you know, sort of obsessed with this idea of, I don't know, the future, premonitions, the whites, the others. I don't know, making the.
So I guess what I'm thinking then is. Man, it's so hard because I'm trying to think about how does Egg figure it out? If this is true, and Egg does, you know, sort of Egg does figure it out, and that's why he's trying to get dragons back. Not just because, I guess before we were thinking maybe Egg just wants to get dragons back because he thinks, well, that's what we need. And remember, there's dreams.
Yeah.
Like Daemon has dragons. They're all having dreams and stuff like that.
Dragons are power. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I guess before we were thinking maybe Egg was thinking, hey, I want to get dragons back because it would, I don't know.
Yeah. It would revitalize
the Targaryen dynasty. But maybe he's thinking, what if this threat is real? And we know they go to the wall at some point. Right? That's something in Dunk and Egg we haven't seen yet.
Well, that's true. Also, the Old King goes. They go to investigate. They actually expand under Jaehaerys. They expand the Night's Watch. They try to,
but the Starks are like, absolutely not, because they feel like but they do sort of put more money into, I was just reading back up on it. They do put some more money into like the Night Fort and stuff like that, because
they do give them that patch of land though too.
They do. Right. Yep. Yeah, they do. Yeah. But they want to do a big expansion, but the Starks are like,
okay. No. Yeah. So to some degree, at least they're like, okay, they're interested, and they're flying up there, and the dragons are not wanting to go beyond the wall. And there's
the interesting thing is it only says that Allison's wall, Silverwing, won't fly above it. So now I'm wondering, because we'd talked about, you know, is it that her dragon couldn't fly above the wall? Like, was it too high? is it because the wall is magical and they're not able to? It sort of said like got scared and turned back around, I believe is what it says in Fire and Blood. But I don't believe it actually says anything about Jaehaerys's dragon, because I think Alicent would just went by herself.
Okay. Right. You're right. Yeah. So
Alicent, not Alicent. Sorry. Good queen. Yeah, yeah. Good queen Alicent.
Good queen Alicent. Yeah. Yeah. The names are so close. Sometimes it's like, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she, it could, yeah, as you said, it could be, it's a mystery, right? It's either magic of the wall, dragons unwilling to do so, or something else. Yeah. Yeah, no, not really sure there. So
then does Aegon, if Aegon doesn't know about it, is it through scouts? Is it through, did he fly up there at some point to see what's, hey, what's over here? And he thinks he sees something. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. Again, some sort of warning or whatever, but there is, you know, here's the thing. We've heard like there is lore of White Walkers. There is all these like, oh, there's Grumpkins and there's different things up beyond the wall and all that stuff or whatever, because the wall's been there prior to the Conqueror, right? I mean, it's been there for so long, but it's like they sensed something more, that there needed to be a united front, that they would be what would stand against them. So it's a premonition. It's a vision. It is a dragon dream that they're trying to preserve and make every generation ready for a threat that could wipe them out, like wipe their family out. So that can even come back, whether it's in text and something that Jaehaerys reads, or someone else wrote down a prophetic dream, a dragon dream that they had that is starting to kind of rekindle this flame. So it's a lot of different things that I think George and HBO, whoever is, you know, as they make this and they build out the TV verse, that they could do to create sort of this idea that we need to be ready for that. Because really, Jon and Dany fight that battle,
right?
With their dragon, you know, to some degree.
Real quick, I have this image up here, by the way, which is, I thought this was super cool. I shared this in our Facebook group earlier.
Yeah.
So first of all, this is just a sick shot of House of the Dragon.
Sick. God, yeah.
It's just gonna be so good. But somebody said, if you look at the attention to detail, so here's like the difference of, say, Balerion and Drogon, which we have been talking about a little bit. So Drogon's head, you know, if you look at it compared to just how big Jon is, like how big his torso is.
Yeah.
And then you go back to this shot right here. I mean, look how freaking massive. Like the difference is supposed to be.
Yeah.
I mean,
when you model that.
Balerion, by this thing, Balerion is like 6 to 7 times larger than Drogon.
Yeah. That's crazy. That is crazy, because in the other one, like from sort of like nose to chin or whatever you want to call it, like in the with Jon, it's what, 3 feet, maybe 4 feet?
It's probably 3 feet.
Yeah.
So his
snout or whatever, you know.
Right. Yeah. Is about 3 feet. I mean, Drogon's nose
that's
to
six
chin.
To seven.
Oh, that's, I think it's even
eight,
more.
9, 10.
It's probably like 10 feet.
That's crazy. That is crazy. It's huge.
It's so different. Also, that shot is just so sick. For those of you guys listen on the podcast, it's just some image that was official image that was released. We saw it in the trailer. I think the first trailer where they have
all the candles. Like the,
all the candles and everything. And some people, and here's, it's hard to tell exactly who that is.
Two, but
that might be Viserys. That might be the secret right there. That might be where he's telling her.
Holy. Oh, they're alone and he's talking to his daughter. That would be cool if that were the case. Man, can you imagine like just the hype that would create?
Yeah.
In terms of like the urgency, and then us watching and witnessing this preparation and the secret get lost and then rediscovered again in another series. And it's this thing that the Targaryens are kind of heroes in a sense, and that we root for them to stay in control, even though they've got all sorts of stuff going on with their bloodlines and multiple wives and crazy stuff going on that the seven, that the faith are not in favor of. But that's a really cool addition, because that is nowhere in Ice and Fire. Like, I don't think, anyways, unless if I'm wrong, you guys leave me a comment, send us a raven, but I don't think we ever heard before that Aegon had some, like, this was the reason why we only start to hear that conversation about, well, and again, even with the prince that's promised and the three heads of the dragon, it's not always is that there must be, but for what? You know what I mean? Like
right.
the for what, why do you need to have a prince that's prom? What's the against the long night or the, you know, again, it's just like making the connection to what is the thing that is coming that is that you're afraid of. So yeah, here we go. Yeah. It's a great shot.
And I have another image here. And, you know, fans have been trying to speculate as to what dragon head this is. Yeah. Because this is
Game of Thrones. Yeah.
This is Game of Thrones. Remember Arya walks by one in season one where she's like, she hides inside of it.
Yeah.
And so now people are trying to speculate as to which dragon head this is. Cause you look at the fangs. The fangs here are huge. It's totally huge. Different than Balerion's skull, which we do see later. Because remember Qyburn shows Cersei and he shoots the bolt. He shoots the bolt into it. Mm-hmm. So fans have been trying to speculate as to what this is. But if that shot is true, that shot is true of House of the Dragon. But if that is potentially where he's telling her the secret of, hey, this is why you need dragons. I mean, that's going to be really important. And I think that's going to be one of the deals where we begin to realize just how significant that could actually be the thing. If you set that up in season one, that could be a sick tie-in into Game of Thrones. And two, show just how really bad the Dance of the Dragons is. Because right now you sort of do the Dance of the Dragons and you're like, yeah, it's this big Targaryen civil war and like the realm suffers for it. But now it's like, no, everyone suffers because we end up losing dragons in it and we lose that secret.
Well, what if it's, I mean, I'm totally tinfoiling in here, but like, what if Rhaenyra in, I don't know, a moment before like her death or something, right? You see her writing, you know, you just see her penciling something down and thing. And well, it's the thing.
Unfortunately, her death is so,
I know,
abrupt
that she couldn't have planned for it. But it's like, what if though you saw her in the midst of this, realizing that all of our lives are at stake, like this, the secret could get lost. And she doesn't say anything about it, but maybe she was told the secret and we see her one day writing when Daemon walks in and not even maybe Daemon knows, maybe it's something that like only the next in line sort of is, this information is privileged, if you will. And she's writing something down. And then that's the thing that like years from now,
Rhaegar learns.
Who knows? I mean, it's, and we, people are like, oh my God, you know, that, little stuff like that, breadcrumbs or things that tie in, I think are fun. And you want to build that for your fans who so many people were speculating and theorizing about Game of Thrones. And they were completely just saying, ignore the books, which good for them. Just ignore. I mean, I love the books and we love it, but like they're going to build their own verse here. And I remember some of our friends were speculating as to what's going to happen based upon purely show stuff that was happening with a little mix of book maybe, but you know, you could kind of like have a show verse. And I feel like if they want to do, because this would be different. This would be something new. And as George said, there are improvements. There are things that he is saying. It works a little better for TV. And it's going to help create this world, this verse. He's a fan of TV. He wants his stuff to be adapted and he wants it to be good. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Wild.
Wow. Gosh, man. So great. It's just so interesting. It is the cool thing about House of the Dragon is that we've talked about how it can really begin to expand the lore of Westeros as we go forward, right?
Right, right.
Which you and I did on our Matt Nez podcast. We did a big breakdown of, there was a big, those of you guys just listening here, there's a huge Warner Brothers shareholder meeting and a lot of stuff is getting axed and stuff. It's really everything almost outside of Game of Thrones is like on fire.
In jeopardy.
Game of Thrones is like the only thing that's like holding that company together right now.
Right.
And they talked about it several times during the shareholder meeting. And they actually said that right now the numbers of Game of Thrones streaming numbers are through the roof because there's so many people right now going back and watching Game of Thrones to get ready for House of the Dragon. And
let's go, baby.
To really say that a lot during a shareholder meeting, like that means
it's the future.
It means it's like the future it's not just the future of like HBO. It's like the future of Warner Brothers as a whole.
Yeah. And which is cool. That means for us, again, more interconnected shows. And we even said in our Matt Nez show, the idea of theatrical releases, you know, like having a theater release of a movie or something. And that could be something down the line we see. Like, I think the rumor of the Jon Snow show coming out and then being confirmed is one of the biggest things. It just shows you the direction that they're headed and how these things are going to tie together. And they're really making a show verse. Like George can just he can, his books are separate. They are really cool. They're really awesome and everything, but he is working with them to make a world, a whole thing right. that will celebrate like his book series. And it's just great.
I would not. And I, and we also talked about how they're shuffling like HBO Max and merging it with Discovery Plus. And they're going to make some sort of new streaming service with all sorts of different things to it. But they said launching next summer, and I don't think we're going to get House of the Dragon season two next year, because they haven't even started. They haven't started filming it yet or anything. Right. And so right. then it takes, you know, like 6 months or however long just to do visual effects and everything. But the thing that could get announced here shortly is like, hey, filming that snow show, because it's so obvious that Westeros is going to be like a big part of their plans going forward.
Yep. Yep.
And so if you're going to launch this new streaming service, I think you're going to want like a big mega show again 100%. To be the flagship thing for that, which is what we'd said about House of the Dragon with HBO Max. But I know,
Well, the thing is that if you love it, people do. And as they say, the numbers are going up. People will be wondering, where can I stream Game of Thrones? Where can I stream House of the Dragon? What's the new thing? They'll communicate that. And the thing that will be bring everybody on is the Jon Snow show. I 100%, if I were in charge, that's what I would do. Flat out,
right?
Wouldn't
now.
You?
I'd be right now, like we need to get this thing going.
Yeah, because you want money. You want that. That's the most sort of notable kind of, it has the name you ever know. Snow. Great name, by the way. Just call it Snow.
Just call it Snow.
We're in. Snow season one. Boom. And then after that, you know, it's like you have House of Dragon season two coming out. So if you enjoyed this right now, you have tons of subscribers on it. It's going to be huge and massive. People are going to be like, where's season two? Okay. That's good. They have no trouble whatsoever moving people over there. It'll just take a little time, a little adjustment, and they're going to be fine. And it's going to be, it's the thing I would literally do this, and I would go back and forth with a sequel, and I would, you know, your prequel and just alternate them. I mean,
yeah. And they actually have an advantage. We've talked about this a lot in our Star Wars show. I appreciate hang out, check it out, quick plug.
Yep.
But one of the problems with Star Wars is that the Star Wars timeline is all over the place.
All over.
And it's incredibly difficult.
Yep.
It's so difficult to understand when something is, because it's like, I mean, they jump from like just
half our episodes are spent explaining when stuff is
explaining stuff, because you have three sets of movies. That's like your framework, and then everything takes place in between those. But there's like 40-year gaps in between. Well, there is a 30-year gap in between,
and then a 19-year gap,
the sequels, and then a 19-year gap in between the originals and the prequels. And then there's like High Republic stuff and Old Republic stuff,
right?
Like hundreds of years, and it's just so confusing to try and figure out. And then Mandalorian takes place like in between this, but it's like five. It's too much. It's too much. The advantage here is you're not doing so much at once.
No.
To where it would be easier to understand a prequel show and a sequel show. Game of Thrones.
Very simple.
I would not do more than that.
No, I wouldn't either. I would let your House of the Dragon show run you through a lot of stuff, because they said this could be volume one House, whatever you want to call it. I mean, just depends. You could rename it later on to something cool. But for
now, you could do 10 seasons, and seasons one through three could be the Dance of the Dragons.
For sure. For sure. And then you could be like, well, okay, what's
seasons
what's
four next? Through season four through six could be the Blackfyre Rebellion.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Because it still fits. It's still the House of the Dragon. And you're like, okay, what happened next?
And then that's honestly what I would do. One through three, you could do the Dance of Dragons in three seasons. You could do Blackfyre Rebellion in three seasons. And then you could do seven through nine could be Robert's Rebellion. That's even for Duncan Egg to Robert's Rebellion, if you whatever you want to do.
Right, right. Just think about too, like as an actor, like coming on to this series, and like you have a chance to, I mean, they're going to get such good, I feel like just good act. It's such a high quality.
Yeah.
Remember they said that in the shareholders meeting, they wanted high quality. Look at the quality of this show.
Oh, it's sweet. And they said, and there's a quote from David Zaslav, CEO of Warner Brothers, saying, hey, we're actually going in the opposite direction of Disney and some of these other things where they're like Disney. I mean, everything on Twitter and everything has been complaining about Marvel and Star Wars is,
work
quality feels like it's going downhill. And they're saying no, we're going the opposite, or we are going quality over quantity. If that means if we release three amazing movies, then that's what we're doing. And they said they are doubling down hard on HBO.
Well, and think about that too. Not then you're also winning awards right? Which people are looking back saying, okay, what won the most, all that different stuff. And so it wins an award. People hear about it then at the ceremony, because people watch those things like, okay, I need to go check that out. I didn't see that. I do that. I watch the award ceremonies and go, okay, what is that? I mean, it just won some awesome thing. So best actor, best whatever, I'm going to go check it out now. So that helps. I mean, quality does matter. Plus people know, they understand when you put in the detailed information, like the breadcrumbs, the music sounds good, it looks good, the costuming matters, everything matters, and you fund it well, we will wait for a good quality product. Just like with George's writing, it's a high quality series, and so why are we willing to wait? I know people get frustrated with him or whatever, but look, we've gotten the highest quality TV show. We have a great one through whatever season you want to stop at in Game of Thrones. I say 1 through 8 is great. It's whatever, it's got its flaws, whatever, but it's a great TV series, and now we're getting more of that. And so I just feel like, how can you, I mean, the quality matters. It really, quantity sometimes, yeah, again, you get tons of Star Wars stuff or whatever, but I, as a true, true Star Wars fan, love Star Wars. Matt and I, we cover it literally all that. I want it to be higher quality, higher quality.
Good. Yeah.
And it's just like, and it hurts sometimes when it doesn't come out. It's you haven't taken the time, which is why I think if you're a true fan of something, I always say for George's, for the books, just for book people, let him write it. Let it come out in the way that it should, high quality, and give them time to work on these shows and develop really good stuff, because it's the stuff that we'll be talking Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday about, right?
Yes.
All at the work week, like we'll be diving in. It just helps you get through the work. It's fun. It's just such a cool cultural thing too that is about to happen in a couple of weeks. We're what, 2 weeks away or something?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So
it's crazy. So awesome. All right, guys. Well, hey, thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys for listening. We appreciate it. We'll be getting this going. I want to try and squeeze in. I just have to sort of pencil it into the calendar. There's so much going on. A quick sort of maybe Zoom hangout, maybe Discord. I've been actually thinking quite a bit about revitalizing our Discord, because it is a Patreon feature. And I remember some people were saying like, yeah, this isn't really used. Well, it was used a lot during season 8.
It was.
And I just we have so much fun in our Facebook group chat that I'm thinking, yeah, you know, we could get the Discord.
That'd be wild. I love this.
Get the Discord roaring kit. And it gives me another excuse to buy another monitor and have it vertically mounted on my desk. Be like, it's just for the Discord. Problem is, I don't really use it that often. So I know some people have like Discord servers where they're like really hardcore into it, and they're like, it's really well done and everything. And so I think that'd be cool. I just need to sort of figure it out.
Yeah, it takes a second. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so
that'd be cool. We had so much fun in Raven's Nest with that.
Right. Yeah, so need to sort of revitalize that, figure that out. So, but our real point of doing that was for the Zoom hangouts, but now we do the Zoom hangouts on Zoom, which is a way better way to do it.
Speaking of which, I think we can do one here.
I know. We're definitely going to need to do one. I was thinking maybe before House of the Dragon, but I'm thinking actually probably
after the first episode
that week after the first episode, so maybe like that Saturday the 27th or something like that. We'll get it penciled in so everyone can kind of
that's a good time, because yeah, just I know what Matt and I have coming up in September and stuff, so that would be
right cool. Yeah, so yeah, we'll get that penciled in and get that going for everybody, so stay tuned for that. So awesome. With that, guys, thank you as always for watching. Thank you as always for listening. And apparently, given all some of the rumors and news we have, winter is coming.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, promo code STAPLE20.